We saw that there were six stages in terms of the history of private altars, known as a boma katana, a minor mizbeach, and at 3 points in history was it permitted to offer up a voluntary korban only on a mizbeach which one had privately outside of the Beis HaMikdash or outside of the Mishkan. When was this permitted? It was permitted before the Mishkan was built at all, when the Mishkan stood in Gilgal for 14 years at the beginning of the conquest of Eretz Israel, and when the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon for a total of 57 years. During those three periods of time, it was permitted to have a private mizbeach and offer up voluntary korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. However, for the rest of history, and since the Beis HaMikdash was built from then onwards, it is prohibited to offer up even a voluntary offering on a private mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, during the times where it was permitted to have to offer up a voluntary offering on a private mizbeach, the term used to describe the private mizbeach is a boma katana, a private, a more minor altar. That's a boma katana, whereas the mizbeach, which stood inside the Mishkan, was known as the boma gedola, the big, great, the main altar. Says the Mishnah, Elu kodshim kriven b'mishkan, the following korbanos need to be offered up in the Mishkan, even during a time when one is able to offer up certain korbanos outside of the Mishkan. Kodshim shehukdushu l'mishkan, korbanos which are automatically designated to be brought in the Mishkan. Meaning if one wouldn't specify where he's planning on offering that korban, will it be in the Mishkan or in his own private mizbeach? So in a case where the automatic understanding is that it is being designated to be brought in the Mishkan, then indeed it would need to be brought in the Mishkan, and that is referring to korbanos hatzibur kriven b'mishkan. Any korban, any sacrifice brought on behalf of the public, for example, the vast majority of sacrifices which have a fixed time, the law is that those must be offered up in the Mishkan, and as a result, anybody who designates a animal to be a public korban, even if he doesn't specify that it's going to be offered up in the Mishkan, that's an obvious part of the designation, since it must be bought in the Mishkan. It cannot be bought on a private mizbeach. On the other hand, a korbanos hayachid, private korbanos bought on behalf of an individual, beboma, they can be offered up on a private mizbeach, a boma katana. Of course, only under certain situations. It has to be a voluntary korban, for example. The point is that there are certain private korbanos, voluntary ones, which can be offered up on a mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That having been said, korbanos hayachid shehukdushu l'mishkan, even a private korban which is voluntary. However, when he designated it, he designated the animal to be a korban which will be bought in the Mishkan. In that case, well, that's part of the designation which he set aside for the animal, and therefore yikvu b'mishkan, that animal now needs to be bought in the Mishkan on the mizbeach over there. However, since at the end of the day, in terms of the prohibition of offering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't exist, and the only reason why he needs to offer this one up in the Mishkan is in order to fulfill his words that he said at the time of the designation, it follows that if he did nevertheless go and offer it up on a boma katana, a private mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Potter, who would be exempt, and he would not have violated that prohibition of offering a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. He just violates the words which he said at the time of the designation. Asks the Mishnah, Mami Mamas Yochid Mamas Tzibur, what is the difference between a private mizbeach and a public mizbeach, the one which stood in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash? And the Masechta now is going to end off with a long list of many requirements for offering a korban, which only apply in the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. However, if the korban is being bought on a private mizbeach, then even the following basic requirements would not be applied. They would not be necessary. Number one, smicha, the requirement to lean with all of one's weight on the animal before they slaughter it. And if it's a korban where confessing for one's sins is relevant, then he would confess for his sins whilst he did the smicha. Ushchitas tzofein, and the requirement to slaughter an animal which is kodshe kodshim, it has a high level of holiness. The requirement to slaughter it in the northern half of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, obviously that would not apply if you are not in the Beis HaMikdash. Umatan soviv, and applying the blood around the mizbeach on the different corners, utznufa, waving parts of the korban in all directions, vahagosha, bringing the flower of a korban mincha towards the corner of the mizbeach. Now Rabbi Huda interrupts the list and he says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Huda says, ein mincha baboma, a korban mincha, flower offering, cannot be offered up on a private mizbeach. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who learns from Pesukim that only a regular animal sacrifice can be offered up on a private mizbeach. Alright, continues the list, v'chiyun, the requirement of a kohen. During the time that one was able to bring a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, anybody was able to perform those services. Uvidei shoreis, and the items of clothing which the kohen is required to wear whilst performing the services of the korban. There is no such requirement for a korban being bought on a private mizbeach, uchlei shoreis. The requirement to use only utensils which have been designated for the Beis HaMikdash and the Korbanos. V'riach nichoyach, the idea of the korban giving a pleasant aroma and smell when it's being burnt on the Mizbeach, and that means that it cannot have been cooked or roasted in a different way elsewhere before he places the meat on the Mizbeach. Or not just the meat, whatever is being burnt on the Mizbeach. Mechitza badomim, and the separating line which went around the Mizbeach for the sake of the blood, meaning to show where halfway up the Mizbeach was, because certain korbanos require their blood to be thrown on the top half of the Mizbeach, and certain korbanos require the bottom half. But the Mishnah says that it is not relevant to a private Mizbeach. And finally, or Chuzdaim Raglaim, and the requirement to wash one's hands and feet before performing the services. Avol, however, says the Mishnah, has man. The timing, meaning if somebody performed the service of the korban with the intention to eat or to burn parts of the korban at a later date past the time limit, in that case, the meat, the korban would become pigel. Or if somebody leaves the meat of the korban, or part of the korban which is fully valid, they leave it uneaten past the time limit for eating it, v'atomei, and the prohibition for somebody who is tomei, impure, for him to be able to perform the services of the korban. These three things, shovin, bozel, bozel, are equal for both a main mizbeach in the Mishkan, and for a regular mizbeach which is privately owned. These laws would apply there as well, and all of these two lists in the Mishnah are learned from Pesukim, and the Gemara cites the source for each of them. Solik Maseches Zvachim Mazel Tov. We begin Maseches Menachos, and Maseches Menachos contains within it 13 parokim, and the discussions are very much similar to the discussions which were made in Maseches Zvachim. Zvachim is focused on korbanos of animals, be it animals like sheep and goats and bulls, or bird offerings, and this Maseches Menachos discusses korbanos mincha, which is an offering of flour. And the truth is, there are no less than 9 different types of korban mincha, and not all of them are bought as raw flour. Some of them are baked or fried, or processed in another way before they are bought as the korban. And the Masechta will discuss at length the similarities and differences between all of these different types of korban mincha. Many of the Mishnayos, particularly in the first 2 parakim, parallel, almost identical Mishnayos which we saw in Maseches Zvachim, just with very small differences to apply to a korban mincha, which is an offering of flour, as opposed to an animal. Now, we learned in Maseches Zvachim that there are 3 main parts to the procedure of bringing a korban. The first part contains the 4 avodas, the 4 services, which in the case of a korban, of a zevach, an animal offering that includes 4 services to do with the blood of the animal. So slaughter the animal, catch its blood, transport the blood towards the mizbeach, and apply it to the mizbeach. The second part of the procedure is offering at least a part of the korban's insides on the mizbeach, burning it there. And the third part of the procedure is the eating of the remaining parts of the korban, the meat. Some korbanos are eaten only by male kohanim within the Beis HaMikdash itself, whereas other korbanos can be eaten even by the person who's bringing the korban, as long as he eats it within Yerushalayim. Now, if we take that now over to a korban mincha, at least for the vast majority of korbanos mincha, there are only 2 parts to the procedure. The first part includes 4 services. However, in this case, obviously, the 4 services are not anything to do with the blood of the animal, but rather 4 services to do with the koimetz of the flower. The koimetz is a term which will come up throughout the Masechta. That refers to the handful of flour which is scooped up from the flour which is being brought. There would be a utensil holding lots of flour, and 1 handful of that flour is taken and burnt on the mizbeach. We're going to see it's not a full handful, rather the kohen would put his 3 middle fingers over his palm, and then put his hand into the utensil holding the flour, and shift flour in between his fingers and his palm, and that small amount of flour which fits in his three-finger handful, that is the koimetz, and that is the amount which is burnt on the mizbeach. Be as it may, there are four services involved in this. The first one is taking the actual koimetz, the handful. That parallels to the shechita, the slaughtering of the animal, when it comes to a regular zevach, a regular animal offering. The second service is placing that handful of flour in a utensil. Just like when it comes to an animal offering, it's catching the blood in a utensil. The third service is identical, that is transporting the flour, just like you would transport the blood towards the mizbeach. And the fourth part of the service is burning that on the mizbeach. That is part one of the procedure, and part three of the procedure of an animal offering applies next, and that is the remaining part of the flour is given to the kohanim to eat. There's no part two to the procedure, because when it comes to an animal offering, there's part two, which is the burning of parts of the korban on the mizbeach. But over here, that's really what part one includes. Now, just like Maseches Zevachim began, the first four prokim really focused on certain invalidating intentions which might or might not invalidate the korban. In the same way, Maseches Menachos opens up, and the first invalidating intention which is going to be discussed, just like in Maseches Zevachim, is the invalidating intention of Loi Lishmo, where the Kohen, whilst performing one of these services, has the intention that he is performing it on behalf, for the sake of this to be a different korban. We mentioned before that there are nine different types of korban mincha. So if, for example, he takes the handful of flour with the intention that this be a different type of korban mincha to what it actually is supposed to be, that would be an invalidating intention, and the Mishnah will discuss what the law in such a case is. Also included in this is if he has the intention that it be bought for the sake of somebody other than the person bringing the korban. That also comes under the category of Loi Lishma. Begins the Mishnah Korban Noches Shenikmus of Loi Lishman. Any flour offering whose kmitza, the three-finger handful, was taken not for the sake of that korban, although he has had an invalidating intention, kasheiros, the actual flour offering, is still valid. And the rest of the procedure of the korban can be completed. Elosh le'olu le'bayim shum choyva. However, it does not fulfill the owner's obligation of bringing it. So, for example, he vowed that he's going to bring a korban mincha, he would need to bring another one. Chutz, except for, just like regarding in the beginning of Maseches Zevachim, we saw that a korban chatos is an exception, so too, there are two types of korban mincha, flour offerings, which are types of korban chatos. They are brought to atone for certain sins, and in that case, it's totally invalid. So the Mishnah says, chutz mimincha's chayte, except for the korban mincha of somebody who sinned in particular ways, we'll see later on in the Masechta, minchas kana'is, and the korban mincha of a woman who is accused by her husband of having relations with another man. She is called a soita, and one of the korbanos which she needs to bring is a korban chatos of flour. Minchas choyte, minchas kana'is, she commands on the shaladishman. When it comes to these two flour offerings, if the kohen took the kmitza, the three-finger handful, shaladishman, not for the sake of that particular korban, he had the intention that it be for the sake of a different type of korban or for a different person. Or if he did the second service, not in bakli, he put the flour into a utensil. Or the third service, the hilech, he transported it towards the mizbeach, the hikter, the fourth service. He burnt it on the mizbeach shelo lishmon, not for the sake of that particular korban. Oy lishmon v'shelo lishmon. Or if within one of the services, he started off doing that service for the sake of that korban, but then in the middle changed to have the wrong intention, or he started one of the services with the wrong intention of not for the sake of that korban, and then he completed that same service with the correct intention for the sake of that korban. Since a part of those four services was done with the intention of the entire korban is invalid. What is an example of where a particular service started off being for the sake of that korban and ended up being not for the sake of that korban? L'shem minchas choyte, if he started off having the intention that it be for the sake of the korban mincha of this sinner, that it be for that type of korban, and then he ended up having the intention, l'shem minchas nedova, that it be for the sake of a voluntary korban mincha. And what is an example of shalei lishman v'lishman, where he started off with the intention not for the sake of that korban and ended up with the intention for the sake of that korban, l'shem minchas nedova, l'shem minchas choyte. If he started off with the intention that it is a voluntary korban mincha and ended up having the intention of it being the correct korban mincha, that of a minchas choyte. Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah parallels the first Mishnah in the second perek of Maseches Zevachim. Achas minchas choyte v'achas kol ha-menachos. Both the korban mincha of a sinner. Again, we're going to see it applies to particular sinners, whether it be a minchas chote or whether it be any of the other of the nine types of korban mincha. If any of the full services were performed by somebody who is not a valid person to perform this, he's not a regular male kohen, that would invalidate the entire korban. These full services are everything which makes the korban valid. So the Mishnah talks about if any of these people shekamotzon, they perform the three-finger handful, but that's only because that's the first of the four services. But the same would apply to all of the four services. Zar, if a non-kohen performed that service. Oinein, somebody whose relative died that day. Tvul Yoim, somebody who has completed their purification process by going to the mikveh, a body of natural water, in order to purify themselves, but they need to wait until nightfall before being considered fully pure. And as long as they are a Tvul Yoim, and before it's reached nightfall, they are not able to perform the service. Mechusar Begodim, a kohen who is lacking any of the items of clothing which he needs to wear when performing the service. Mechusar Kippurim, somebody who has completed their purification process. However, they are also obligated to bring a korban the day after they've completed that process. And until they've brought that korban, they are also considered to be not fully pure and not fully valid to perform the service. Or shalo yochud shadayim raglayim, somebody who did not wash their hands and feet before performing the service. Or el, somebody who has not got a bris milah. Tomei, a kohen who is tomei. Impure, yoshev, if he performs the service while sitting down. Oymed al gabi kelim, or whilst he is standing up, but he's standing on top of another item. There is a gap between him, the kohen, and the floor of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Agavi behemo, or if it's on top of an animal, agavi arichaveiroi, or if he's standing on top of somebody else's feet. All of those are considered to be gaps between the kohen and the floor, and the service would be invalid as a result. And because of that, posal, he has invalidated the entire korban. Komatz basmoil, if he took the kamitza, the handful of flour, or he performed any of the other services basmoil with his left hand, this is against the requirement of the Torah, and posal, he has invalidated the entire korban by performing the service in the wrong way. Ben Beseiro says, interestingly, that yachze, you should return the flour back into the utensil holding all of the flour, the yachze, you can tell the omen, and go back and take another handful with your right hand this time. According to Ben Beseiro, if you perform a service with your left hand, it's considered to be so invalid that we don't even look at it as if you performed a service in the wrong way. We look at it as you haven't yet performed the service. So just put the flour back and now perform the service of taking the handful. Now the Torah says that one needs to separate a handful of the flour and offer it up on the Mizbeach, and the Torah calls it Meloi Kumtzai, his full koimetz. And because of that, if Komatz, he took a handful of flour, V'olob Yodot Tzrar, but a small stone came up in his hand, and that is contained within the flour in his hand. That means that a part of the koimetz is not flour. So he has not got a full koimetz. So a gargir melach, or if a grain of salt is part of the flour in his hand, a kerchel levina, or a granule of levina, the frankincense, which is offered up together with the korban mincha, and that frankincense was actually added to the flour before the koimetz was taken. It was sprinkled onto the top of the korban mincha, it wasn't mixed in. And the kohen was supposed to take a handful of flour and avoid the frankincense which was already added to the flour. But if part of that frankincense came up with the flour, so now the flour is lacking. Posal, therefore, he has invalidated the korban if they use that handful of flour. Rebnesha Omru, because the Chachom said, HaKoimetz HaYoser VeChoser Posal, a koimetz, the three-finger handful, which is too much, it's overflowing, or it's too little, posel is invalid for using for the korban mincha. Izra Yosef, what is an example of a koimetz which is extra? Shekamotz mevayotz, if he took a handful and it is overflowing, it's coming out from between the three fingers. Chosar, what is an example of when it is lacking, in addition to the example which the Mishnah gave? Shekamotz brashetz ba'isav, if he took a handful just with the tips of his fingers, but he didn't put the fingers totally over the palm of his hand. Like the Mishnah now says, Ketzad hu'aisav, what is the correct way to perform this first service of the kamitza, of taking the handful of the flour? Peshetz ba'isav pasiyodoy, he says, stretch out his fingers onto the palm of his hand. Mishnah Gimel, the next two Mishnahs discuss something which was discussed at length in Maseches Zevachim, and that is two more invalidating intentions. One of Chutz Lizmanoi, if you have the intention to perform the continuation of the procedure of bringing the korban beyond its time limit for bringing it. In this case, that would mean performing any of the first three services, the taking of the handful of flour, putting it into a utensil, and transporting it to the Mizbeach, if you perform any of those three with the intention of burning the flour on the Mizbeach beyond its time limit, and that means after that same day, the kometz has to be burnt on the Mizbeach on the same day as it was taken from the flour. So if one has an intention like that of chutz lizmanoi, the korban would become pigul, and it would be forbidden, it would be an invalid korban, and if somebody eats any part of that korban, he would be liable to the punishment of kores, being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem. Alternatively, if somebody performs any of the four services with the intention of eating the remaining part of the flour beyond the fixed time, and that means after that night, that would also make the korban pigul. The second invalidating intention, which the Mishnah is going to discuss, is chutz lin koimoi, intending to either burn the flour, to burn the koimetz of the flour, or to eat the remaining part of the flour outside of the area where it is permitted to perform that. So burning, intending to burn it not on the Mizbeach, or if one intends to eat the remaining part of the flour outside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, just before the Mishnah gets into that discussion of chutz lizmanoi and chutz limkoimoi, the Mishnah first continues the topic of the previous Mishnah. Ribo shamno, if the kohen added too much oil, or the chisar shamno, he didn't add enough oil to the korban mincha, that is part of the procedure of bringing the korban mincha, as we're going to see later on in the Masechta, or chisar levenoso, if he didn't put enough levena, enough frankincense, onto the flour, then psula, that is also a way of invalidating the korban. Continues the Mishnah. Kometz is a mincha, one who takes the kemitza, the handful of the flour, lechol shiorei bachutz, with the intention of eating the remaining part of the flour, be outside of the area given, outside of the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard, ikazayz mishiorei bachutz, or he has the intention to eat at least the size of an olive of the remaining part of the flour outside, lahaktir kumtza bachutz, or he has the intention to offer up the handful of flour outside of the area where it needs to be burnt, meaning not on the Mizbeach, ikazayz mikumtza bachutz, or has the intention to offer up to burn at least the size of a olive of the koimetz outside, or to burn the frankincense outside of the area, outside of the Mizbeach, the korban would be invalid. However, the punishment of kores, if somebody eats part of that korban, would not apply, because the invalidating intention of chutz limkoimoi, intending to do something outside of the area given, does not warrant the punishment of kores. On the other hand, if he performs any of these services with the intention to eat the remaining part of the flour tomorrow, that's already too late, or the size of an olive of the remaining part of the flour the next day, or to burn a handful of the flour the next day, or the size of an olive of the handful of flour the next day, or to burn the frankincense the next day, that's already too late. And in this case, pigul, the korban is considered to have the status of pigul, such that if somebody eats any part of that korban, v'chayavon alav kores, he would be liable to the punishment of kores. Zaklol, this is the rule. Kolak koimetz, anybody who performs the first service of taking a handful of flour, v'anisim bakli, or the second service of putting that handful into a utensil, or the third service, v'amahalich, one who transports that koimetz towards the Mizbeach, or the fourth service, v'hamakte, one who burns that koimetz on the Mizbeach. And whilst performing any of those four services, lechol dovish daiko lechol, he has the intention of eating something which is supposed to be eaten, or lehakter dovish daiko lehakter, or he has the intention to burn something which is supposed to be burnt, i.e. the koimetz itself. Chutzim koimoi, if he has the intention to do it outside of its given place, possibly in Bakoris, it is invalid and the punishment of Bakoris will not apply. Chutzim mano, if he has the intention to do it beyond the time limit, then pigol bachayon on Bakoris, it will be considered pigol, and if somebody eats it, he will be liable to the punishment of Koris. However, the Mishnah adds one condition. As long as the matir is bought according to the way it needs to be bought. The matir refers to that which is done in order to permit the continuation of the service to be done. So essentially, the four services are considered to be a matir to allow the remaining part of the flour to be eaten. And the point of the Mishnah is that if there is any other invalidating intention other than chutz lizmanoi, eating the flour beyond the time limit, then it would not become pigul. Ketzad korban matir mitzvasai. How does the matir need to be bought according to the way it's supposed to be bought? What does that involve? Komatz v'shisika, if he took the handful silently, meaning without any invalidating intention at all, v'nosin bakli v'hilich v'hitach v'zmanoi, and then he put the flour into a utensil, transported it to the Mizbeach, and burnt it on the Mizbeach, with the intention of chutzis manai, of eating the rest of the flour beyond the time limit. Or he performed the kmitza with the intention of chutzis manai, and he performed the rest of the services silently without any invalidating intention. Or if he performed all four services with the intention of chutzis manai, this would all come under the category of bringing the matter according to the way that it needs to be brought, meaning the only invalidating intention involved is that of chutzis manai, intending to eat the remaining part of the flour outside of the given time, meaning the next day and beyond.